Welcome to the Educause Podcast. I'm Jerry Bain. You can find more podcasts like this on a variety of topics in higher ed IT at www.educause.edu/podcasts, or you can search for Educause on iTunes. On this podcast, we feature an interview with Rosalind Metz, Systems Administrator for Curricular Support at Wheaton College. I interviewed Rosalind before her presentation at the 2010 NERCOMP Annual Conference. Her presentation was entitled, Cloud Computing in Higher Education, Changing the Way We Provide Systems.
What are some of the biggest misconceptions you see and hear about cloud computing? And what does that say about the context surrounding the hype over cloud computing in the past year?
A lot of people believe that outsourcing is the cloud, so that if I am outsourcing whatever system, then I have put my system in the cloud, and that's not necessarily the case. The cloud is less about the physical and more about the abstract, I would say. I think the other big misconception is that the web is the cloud. And part of that is actually a historical thing, because it used to be when you would do a PowerPoint presentation and you wanted to identify the internet, you would use a cloud. So the cloud kind of became, oh, well, they must be talking about the internet. But the cloud is more or less this idea that things are available over a network. So my server, the actual physical hardware, I can actually get through the network. Software, I can actually get through the network. And I can get it on demand. I can get it within 5 seconds.
So how are institutions using the cloud? Does it benefit both large and small universities and colleges? I mean, and are the large universities using it in a different way than the smaller ones?
I actually think that the cloud could have a bigger impact on smaller institutions than on larger institutions. Usually larger institutions have quite hefty data centers that they have set up. And so replacing those data centers may not necessarily be the most feasible thing for them at any given point in time. But smaller institutions, when it comes time for them to buy a server, it's a pretty hefty capital expense for them. So it's a one-time purchase that they have to make. They have to scrounge around, find that $10,000 to $15,000, and then hope that the server doesn't break anytime in the next 5 years. Because most likely they won't be able to find that $10,000 to $15,000 again. I think the benefit of the cloud really is that you can predict costs. So when I talk about it on campus, I talk about it as there's real money, like money that we actually have right this second that we can use to purchase a server. But a better way, of course, to budget would be, I know every single year I'm going to charge, I don't know, $500 for a couple servers to run a couple of applications. And I know that that's a constant amount that I will have to pay. So an institution, if they could move things to the cloud, could say, I know every single month my servers are going to cost me $500 or however much it's going to cost you. And I can prepare for that new science building that I have to build or that new dorm that I'm going to have to build. Those capital expenses that maybe we can't really get around, at least not right now. So.
Well, and also doesn't it take a lot of the responsibility off of the shoulders of the university?
So you don't need to worry about, if you're buying a server through Amazon's cloud, you don't need to worry about your data center going down. You need to worry about theirs. But of course, if their data center goes down, they are losing money.
Absolutely.
So they want to keep it up and running. And the good thing, too, is that we have one data center, and they have lots of data centers.
Right.
So they have data centers all over the world. So if the U.S. East Region 1 goes down, they can move it to, you know, the U.S. West Region mm-hmm. 1.
So how do you see the use and development of cloud computing in the next 5 years or so?
Well, I think the way that the cloud is moving, I think there's moving more and more a focus on data. Because up until this point, I actually heard a gentleman by the name of Christopher Hoff. He works at Cisco. He's a security specialist, and he talks a lot about, on his blog, security in the cloud. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that he actually was recently talking about was, where are we moving? And traditionally, we have looked at securing the systems that hold our data, making sure that the system surrounding the data is secure. And if all of those are secure, then it makes it harder for you to get to our data. But instead of securing those systems surrounding the data, we need to be securing the data itself. So if we can actually make our data secure, then we don't need to worry necessarily about all of those other systems surrounding the data. So I think that we're going to see a movement toward the data piece, portioning software off so that the data is decoupled from the system itself. Because if you can decouple the data, you can actually have what they call a hybrid cloud. So I could have maybe the data sitting in my cloud, if I have one on my campus, and then the rest of the system could live in some other type of cloud. So I really think that over the next 5 years or so, we're going to see a focus on securing data and what we can do with that data, and then slapping interfaces and systems on top to work with whatever data we may have available that we want to use.
Do you think we'll move to having more applications in the cloud?
Oh, I definitely think we will. I think it just makes smart business sense. I think the problem becomes trying to sell that to presidents and CFOs of institutions. And most CFOs will say, yeah, that's exactly what I want to do. I want a budget. I want to know every month how much you're going to be spending. The problem is you have to say to them, but I'm going to need some upfront cost in order to do that. So I'm going to need, you know, an extra $5,000 this year to move everything over to the cloud. Once I do that, I have a predictable cost. But right now we're in tough economic times. So saying to your CFO, I need $10,000 so that I can set up a cloud service, they're going to say, well, what's wrong with what we have now? So those are kind of the problems that we're facing. But I think as the economy continues to improve, they're going to see, if I can say that I know predictably what I'm going to spend, that's what I want to do.
How do you see the staffing and skill sets of IT organizations changing?
It is going to look slightly different. You know, it depends, of course, on what type of cloud services that you're using. If you're going to be switching over to things like Amazon, you're still going to need people to know the operating systems, the supporting software, all of that stuff. You might not need somebody to know as much about hardware as you did before. I personally hate hardware, so I think that's a great thing. but, you know, so I think that the idea of needing to know hardware might kind of slip off the radar. I think the other piece, again, is knowing data, knowing different types of data formats, knowing how we can deliver data, those types of things I think will be important. And these are skill sets that people may already know. And I guess it's going to require people to be more of a jack of all trades than it required people before. So you may end up needing to know more about a whole slew of different things that you didn't necessarily need to know about before.
Less specialization, maybe.
I think so. But I think that's generally the way society is moving toward, that there's less of a specialization required and more of a generalization.
Well, Rosalind Metz, System Administrator for Curricular Support at Wheaton College, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
You can subscribe to our podcast by visiting www.educause.edu/podcasts. I'm Jerry Bain for Educause. Thanks for listening.